Jessica Copley from the Mid-Atlantic Council for a little presentation.
Good afternoon, everybody. We'll just give a second to get the talk up. That's not pretty. Hold on, let me see if it resizes itself here. Okay. All right, looks like we're the right size for the talk now. Our council, the Mid-Atlantic Council, has developed an omnibus annual catch limit and accountability measure amendment. Because all of the Mid-Atlantic species were on the 2011 requirement to establish a process to derive ABCs, ACLs, and a comprehensive system of catch accountability for 2011, the council was able to deal with it all in one document. So this will amend all six of those FMPs, including dogfish, which is a joint plan. Now, the Mid-Atlantic met in August a couple weeks ago at their meeting and identified their preferred alternatives within the document and voted to submit it with some minor edits that staff has to make at that August meeting. So I'm here today to go over the council's preferred alternatives with the New England Council, and you could consider taking complementary action as you see fit. I'll work on revisions, and then staff will submit it in October 2010. And at some point in the future, we'll have a proposed rule, a public comment period on that proposed rule, and then a final rule sometime March to May 2011. It'll probably be on the latter part of that time period, maybe even June. Not real sure how our timeline's going to play out. We still have to deal with deeming regulations and things like that with our council. So in terms of developing a process to establish ABC, there are two alternative choices within the document. The first is a no-action alternative, and the council has one option proposed to establish a framework for control rule methods. The SSC, Science and Statistical Committee, took the lead on the development of that alternative, ABCB, for the council. It has four levels, so it's a tier-based approach to describe approaches for deriving ABC in each of those categories. There's specific criteria for each level, with level one being the highest quality assessment, most information available, and level four would have the least information available. And depending on how much information you have available, that'll also relate to the amount of uncertainty you have in your stock assessment and your biological reference points that are derived for that. The SSC would apply this four-level framework and identify to which level a stock belongs, level one to four, and provide that with their ABC recommendation to the Mid-Atlantic Council. So this is a summary of those four types of levels. Level one would be your ideal assessment. You would have an overfishing limit distribution that's produced by the stock assessment model, and it's used exactly as is. So that estimate of OFL and that distribution associated with it would capture all sources of scientific uncertainty that are relevant. And at that level, it would be a probabilistic approach where you would take that overfishing limit distribution, which characterizes the scientific uncertainty, and then look to the council risk policy for their tolerance for overfishing. That would provide a probability of overfishing, and the two of those could be combined to derive the ABC. At this point, none of the Mid-Atlantic stocks would fall into that category, and probably wouldn't anytime soon. That is the ideal. None of them are there yet. Level two would also apply that probabilistic approach where you would combine that overfishing limit distribution with a probability of overfishing from the council's risk policy. However, some relevant sources of scientific uncertainty were missing, so the assessment work group would make some adjustments to that distribution before ABC is derived. For level two, none of our stocks fall in that category at this point. There's potential that the summer flounder assessment, which is the most robust assessment that the Mid-Atlantic has, may fall into that category in the near future when the assessment work groups have time to prepare more information to calculate those distributions and provide those to the SSC. Level three Very similar to level two, there would be gaps in the information that's available to characterize uncertainty in that OFL distribution. So it could be a probabilistic approach that's applied there, or there may be a default control rule of 75% of FMSY that may be used for assessments that fall into that category. And level four are cases where this is the lowest category. There's substantial gaps in information available for that stock. So ad hoc types of control rules would need to be applied in those cases. And it's left up to general types of rules as it's described in this document, because it would depend on what the more reliable sources of information are. Maybe that catch is a more reliable source of information to use to derive those control rules, or maybe the catch is less reliable and the indices are more reliable. So that's something that the SSC would work to look at whatever is the best information and develop some type of approach at that point. So that ABCB is the council preferred alternative. So there, as I said, there are only two options. They've identified the action alternative as their preferred. Now, there's a series of risk alternatives contained within the document to establish a council risk policy. There's six action alternatives and one no action alternative contained within the document. Now, the Mid-Atlantic Council recognized that the risk policy is a part of the ABC development process, and they intended for this risk policy to work in conjunction with that ABC framework. There are really two pieces that are intended to fit together in this process. So the overfishing limit distribution and the probability of overfishing that the Council identifies through the risk policy would combine directly to determine the ABC for those upper three ABC control rule method levels. So for 1, 2, and 3, it would be applied directly. For level 4, where you're in that data poor situation, that lowest level for stock assessments, the risk policy would be more informative in terms of giving the SSC a feel for what the Council's tolerance for risk is in those situations, but it may not be applied directly as it would in those upper three levels, just because you don't have as much information available to you. The Council chose to approach their risk policy with a formal overarching policy that would apply to all of their stocks. So it would be the same policy. However, there would be a series of elements that may be species-specific that could be applied. So for the options B through G that are contained in the document, there is a constant probability option, which would have no other elements. It would be a fixed 25% that was in there. And then the other alternatives incorporate things like stock status, assessment level, which relates to those four levels, a stock history, whether it's been overfished or not previously, and life history, whether it's a typical or atypical life history. And those options are expressed as either categorical functions, linear functions, or continuous functions. Now, with the Council's preferred alternative, there are general provisions that would apply to that option as well as all the risk options. For stocks that are under rebuilding plans, the upper limit on the probability of exceeding the rebuilding F would be 50% unless modified to a lesser value through a rebuilding plan amendment. This actually is the current council practice. The upper limit on rebuilding plans are at least 50% in terms of applying that rebuilding F, because that implies a 50% probability of rebuilding success. So that's the minimum that's already applied. So this would continue to move forward with these risk policy options. However, if the council chose to calculate a lower rebuilding F or apply it in a different fashion, they would be able to do that through their rebuilding plans. This would just set the upper limit. In addition, if there's no overfishing limit available from the stock assessment and the SSC is not able to provide an overfishing limit proxy, then catch levels for that individual stock would not be increased until an OFL has been identified. And this is intended for those worst-case scenarios when there's no overfishing definition from the SARC and the SSC can't identify an OFL proxy. So essentially, you're flying blind with respect to overfishing. If you set a catch level for the next year, you won't be able to tell if you're overfishing or not. So This is intended for that worst-case scenario. The SSC has made it clear to the council that in cases where a stock assessment doesn't provide an OFL, that they intend to provide an OFL proxy for those cases. So hopefully this is something that wouldn't be applied frequently. It's just intended as a backstop to address risk in those cases. So the council's preferred alternative was alternative risk G. It incorporates stock status, looking at the ratio between current stock biomass and the biomass at maximum sustainable yield. If you're at 1.0, you're exactly at BMSY. You've got that inflection point, which would be exactly at 1.0. The other factor this takes into account is life history. And the council has defined two different formulas here, one for typical and one for atypical, for deriving their tolerance for overfishing. For atypical, it would be species with a life history that have a greater vulnerability to overfishing. So one example might be something that's long-lived, might be more susceptible. But it's also defined as a species whose life history has not been fully addressed through the current assessment process. So when stock assessment takes place and the SSC is looking to derive ABC, they would look at the assessment information, see if for those species that are more vulnerable to overfishing, if that life history aspect has been addressed in the assessment, and if it turns out that it has not been addressed, then they would be able to apply the atypical track, which would apply a slightly lower probability of overfishing in those cases for those species. However, if it turns out the assessment already addresses that, they wouldn't apply that second track. In terms of annual catch limits, the council, the Mid-Atlantic, had a preferred approach for all of its species to set ACL equal to ABC and to apply annual catch targets for all the stocks to address management uncertainty. They like the idea of this because it's a soft target. If the ACT is exceeded, but it turns out the ACL is not exceeded, it wouldn't necessarily trigger the accountability measures that are linked up to the annual catch limit. Once those ACTs have been established, the council, the discards, because ACT is catch-based, discards could be deducted from that amount to derive the landings for those individual fisheries, and then management measures could be applied to those landings when they're developed to the upcoming fishing year. Some differences in terms of how the Mid-Atlantic deals with discards. I know for New England, there are some in-season calculations of discards that are done for many of the fisheries. For the Mid-Atlantic, discards have been dealt with on an annual basis, typically at the end of the year. For the upcoming fishing year, when a benchmark assessment occurs or an assessment update occurs for that year, the Science Center has been the group that's provided the council with those discard estimates as well as projections when there have been assessment projections that are conducted, both the projected discards and landings that would be applied. For spiny dogfish, and for all of the species that are contained within the amendment, the measures are broken into three suites, first to deal with annual catch limits, then to deal with proactive accountability, and then reactive accountability. For each of these subgroups, there's a pair of options for dogfish, a no action and an action option. The council did consider a lot of other approaches when they developed this amendment. There are a lot of things that were considered but rejected from further analysis and are contained in the appendix in the back of the omnibus document. So for dealing with annual catch limits and specifying that, the council preferred alternative was alternative dogfish B. This would set the ABC equal to the OFL minus as adjusted for scientific uncertainty. Then taking that ABC, which would be an ABC for the entire stock, the Canadian catch would be deducted to come up with a domestic ABC, and that's the current approach that's used right now. So ACL would be set equal to the domestic ABC. And the comparison of observed catch to the ACL in upcoming and future fishing years would be based on a single year evaluation. So you'd look at your 2012 observed catch, both landings and discards, and compare it to that ACL to determine if it's been exceeded or not. For proactive accountability, this is where the council chose to apply annual catch targets. The Mid-Atlantic uses a dogfish monitoring committee. It has monitoring committees for most of its species that provide recommendations to the council and have provided recommendations on quota, management uncertainty, implementation in the past. So the role of the dogfish monitoring committee will be to recommend a single annual catch target to the council for spiny dogfish, which would address management uncertainty. The monitoring committee would communicate those sources of management uncertainty, any control rules that they might have applied when deriving that, and pass that on to the council as advice. And they're really the group that's most knowledgeable about the fishery, the nuances of it, and would be most familiar with those implementation aspects. So in terms of dealing with management uncertainty, you know, it would be things that affect your ability to control the catch. There may be imprecision in estimates, like things like discards. There's imprecision in your estimates, your projected estimates for years. For upcoming fishing years, the ACT could be adjusted in response to that in the future. So then when you have your observed catch, it may prevent you from exceeding your ACL. For reactive accountability, the council preferred alternative was dogfish, alternative dogfish F. If the ACL is exceeded, then the ACL would be reduced the following year by a similar amount. It would be a single mechanism for reactive accountability, so all sources of catch, both landings and discards, would be addressed in one step compared to the ACL. If there is an overage of the ACL, an adjustment would take place in the subsequent year, essentially as a pound-for-pound payback. In terms of the process to review actions in the future and make adjustments to all of these measures, the council has contemplated, identified two preferred alternatives, alternative review B and review C. Essentially, for the ABC control rule methods, the SSC would review that information every 5 years, look at the performance of those control rules, and could recommend modifications for the council if they'd like to make adjustments. Could be more frequent if the council chooses to have a more frequent review due to rebuilding plans or poor performance. For annual catch limits and accountability measures and how those are performing, the individual species monitoring committees or the staff, in the case of surf clam and ocean quahog, would review that information every 5 years and provide recommendations for the council unless the ACL is exceeded more than 25% of the time or two consecutive years, at which point the staff would let the council know that it has been exceeded and that would trigger a performance review. They could have more frequent performance review if they felt that was appropriate. The council could as well. In terms of modification of actions, we've lost it. We got it back. Any of the catch levels that are associated with ABC, the specific values or values from the risk policy, those would all be communicated via our specifications packages. Modification for changes to the ABC levels or the risk policy could be recommended through specifications and codified through that rulemaking process. Any different approaches to how ABC is tackled in this document, something different than using those four levels, or new approaches for risk policy would require framework adjustments or an amendment process. So that we wouldn't be able to deal with them through that approach. ACT and ACT control rules, there's those annual catch targets. Again, specifications would be used to communicate those. Accountability measures that are already in the FMP would continue to be modified through specifications. That's something we do now. Things like trip changes to trip limit adjustments, those types of things. Any new accountability measures new ones that have been contemplated that are different than are already in the framework categories for these species. There's a list within the draft document that lists, I think it's 7 additional categories that would be added to each of the species as new framework categories. So that's a really fast rundown of a lot of information. You've got excerpts from the Swiney Dogfish document behind tab 9. There's a link to the full document as well.
Thanks, Jess. Paul Howard.
Thanks, Jess. That was a good briefing. Thanks very much. We do things a little different here when we set our ACLs. When the SSC looks at ABC, they look at the whole stock. And then when we set an ACL, we recognize states' rights and that states manage fisheries inside 3 miles with state-permitted vessels. So we take that right off the top and then set a ACL for federal catch. So that's how we've done it with groundfish and certain state fisheries. I'm concerned about how you'd set an ACL if you don't consider any state fisheries. And what? Recognizing that ASMFC has a state plan, you'd want to know what they're catching in each state so that you could, you know, address the federal ACL requirement and monitor it.
Well, the way that we've operated for our plans, all catch, whether it's in state or federal waters, has been compared to the federal quotas. To evaluate, like for a commercial fishery, if there have been overages. And so similarly with these ACLs, these would be a federal ACL or a federal ACT that's been set. And the total catch, landings and discards, whether they occurred in state or federal waters, would be compared to that. The commission has not at this point developed any sort of complementary action to our omnibus amendment to address the plans for fluke scups or summer flounders, scup, black sea bass, bluefish, and spiny dogfish for ones that we have complementary interests.
Anyone else on the council? Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, thanks, Jessica. Let's see. At the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission meeting a while ago, there was a public hearing on the omnibus, and you gave a presentation on all the different stocks, the dogfish as well, of course. And at that time, I did provide some testimony, and I had asked for something that would help me and eventually all council members, never mind ASMFC members, better appreciate the consequences of this particular strategy for establishing, the ABC, the ACL, and of course the Act. And that was, the question was, could you provide, could you take a look at the current year that we are in, operating with 15 million pounds, and if we had applied this particular council option that you now know what it is, the council decision, if we had applied this technique, this strategy, a year ago for the current fishing year, what would the quota have been? Would it have been 15 million pounds? Would it have been 10 million pounds? Have you had an opportunity to do that, to reflect on what would have been? Because if I know what would have been, that'll help me determine if I want to support this particular strategy that obviously has an impact on the quotas that we will set in years to come, and also will have an impact, I suspect, in a large way, on the interaction between the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission and both councils on spiny dogfish. So has that been done?
Well, we're fortunate to have our council chair from the Mid-Atlantic here as well, and he has his hand up to respond to that, so I'm going to defer if that's all right, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to speak to this because I had the pleasure of sitting through the SSC's discussion of this issue last week, and so in a very contemporary way, I think I can speak to this. And so if the interest is in ground truthing the risk policy and this approach to the current situation, if you recall the decisions that RSSC has been making on a number of other stocks, not infrequently, they've been establishing ABC at 75% of the yield at OFL. So there's been about a 25% buffer. That's become something of a default for their practice. But when you look at this policy where you have a distribution of the OFL, or where the SSC creates a distribution of the OFL utilizing a coefficient of variation, which they've been also in the practice of doing recently, and you apply the risk policy, you would come out with a probability of overfishing here, in this case, of 35%, because you're at or above BMSY. And coincidentally, when you apply that, the 35th percentile of that distribution using a 75% coefficient of variation is the same as a 75% of the yield at OFL. So it's basically a 25% buffer between OFL and ABC. So today, for example, the SSC's OFL estimate is 20,267 metric tons, and their ABC at that would correspond to that is 15,200 metric tons. Now, the net quota available is going to be sensitive to discards, which in this fishery are quite substantial. But if you follow through the work of the monitoring committee last week, it would, in fact, be higher than the status quo. So just, again, to provide some context based on today's information, that's how the policy would be applied and would play out. And I think it's consistent with the practice of our SSC that they've been doing over the last year, and it's essentially in line with that. But apply today, given the latest estimate of projected discards for next year, it would be the net TAL would be higher than the status quo.
So, if I may, so your answer then is that if we had applied this methodology last year, we would have ended up with a quota higher than 15 million. I mean, the actual allowable landing limit, 15 million.
David, that would depend on the estimate of discards. The relationship between OFL and ABC would reflect a 25% buffer. I can tell you that. I can't tell you what the monitoring committee's assessment of discards was in the last year. I don't have that in front of me. But the key point here, I think, is the relationship between OFL and ABC that's established in the proposed structure and relative to the risk policy.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you, Rick. Regarding the summary of the levels, level 1, 2, 3, and 4, regarding the OFL distribution, I need a clarification, Jessica, if you would. Now, obviously, this council has been relying very heavily on the Northeast Fishery Science Center work on spiny dogfish. ASMFC has done the same thing. Paul Rago and company, they've done stellar work. And we've used that stellar work to determine what the quota should be. Now, of course, we have the SSC involvement, and my take on this is that the SSC now will be taking what comes out of Paul Rago's shop and do more than what comes to this council through the SOC process through Paul Rago and his staff. I'm trying to get a better handle on to what extent will we find the this council will be obliged to live with the recommendations coming out of the Mid-Atlantic Council SSC as opposed to our relying on, as we have for so long, on Northeast Fisheries Science Center advice. Because your SSC is not our SSC. I'm trying to figure out who's going to call the shots now on the quotas that will be established for the dogfish fishery in New England as well as the Mid.
I think, David, it's similar to how monkfish is going to play out. We're the lead council. Our SSC is going to make those determinations. Our committee, which has a couple of members from the Mid-Atlantic Council, will work through the process. But the calling of the shots for monkfish happens here. The calling of the shots for dogfish happens at the Mid, with the Mid Scientific and Statistic Committee.
I appreciate that, except we have ASMFC involvement, so it complicates matters. Monkfish doesn't kick in with that, you know, with ASMFC, but it does. It does with spiny dogfish.
How do you guys handle other stocks like Fluke or other things that the ASMFC and the MID share?
With great difficulty at times. Certainly, the history of spiny dogfish management has been one of great difficulty, with ASMFC being in the lead quite often. And this council has consistently agreed with the ASMFC position on spiny dogfish numbers. And that, of course, has put us at times at odds with the MID and with the National Marine Fisheries Service. I just want to avoid that situation to the extent that we can, and to get a preview of the odds of our actually getting into a potential conflict situation, I really need to understand, you know, what is being proposed here by the Mid-Atlantic Council, that they're now asking the New England Council to adopt. What's the bottom line in terms of the numbers we will be faced with, the commercial fishery will be faced with? Now, Rick just said that, he gave me some insights, but I'm still not sure of the bottom line.
Just so I can understand, and perhaps other council members have the same question for you, Dr. Pierce, your questions aren't about the methodology that the Mid-Atlantic voted on that will eventually provide those numbers. You actually want to know what the actual numbers are today?
Well, to what extent has this particular strategy being offered up departed from the way in which we have been setting the quotas here in New England, using the advice from the SAW, okay? It was instrumental. It was the reason why we and ASMFC went with the 15 million. Good advice from that peer-reviewed assessment. Now, I just wonder how that peer-reviewed assessment advice is going to be used, modified, expanded upon by the SSC in a way that will force us to go in a different direction. Lower the number, for example.
Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the answer to Dr. Pierce's question is probably found in the description of the tiers themselves. So there are four proposed tiers. In Tier 1, you basically have an ideal assessment. That would be some gold standard that we have yet to achieve. But in that case, the SSC would simply apply the probabilistic approach to the distribution of the OFL. Similarly, in Tier 2, the distribution of the OFL would be considered to adequately account for all the scientific uncertainty in the assessment, and the distribution that goes with the assessment would be utilized. In Tier 3, the SSC would be making a determination that, in fact, the distribution of the OFL does not adequately account for all sources of uncertainty, and so they would create a PDF that does that, or they would rely on a default of 75% of F associated with the OFL. So if you look at where there is discretion, it's there in Tier 3, where the SSC would be recasting a probability density function to account for the uncertainty, what they feel adequately would account for the uncertainty in the assessment. And that is where you would have additional information, perhaps, that you haven't had historically in the information as it came through the assessment. So that is an added step. That's where the SSC has discretion. And as we see it play out here just this last week, it is, in fact, generally consistent with what they've been doing with setting ABC at 75% of OFL. And I would hope in the future that those CVs will tighten up as the assessment scientists begin to interact more and more with the SSC and evolve the process. I think the SSC will be defining in clearer terms what they're looking for to characterize that uncertainty in the distribution. And so I would hope that there's some convergence there, and actually we see improvement, because obviously the yields are sensitive to the distributions. Thank you.
Pierce?
To what extent will this discussion continue factoring into our discussions the document number 5, which is the Scientific and Statistical Committee meeting of last September 21st. In that particular document, there's a reference to the overfishing level, the ABC, and I'm just wondering how that particular information will Well, with that information in hand, what will the bottom line be for the Mid-Atlantic Council and for this council relative to quotas that would be established in 2011 or 11 through 13 or 11 through 15, which are the options that have been presented that are in this document? Because I see that the ABC, for example, 2011, 33.5 million pounds or so. There'll be some subtraction of discards. There'll be some subtraction of Canadian catch. You know, what's left? Less than 15 million? Far less than 15 million? I'm just trying to track this through, project ahead, because I don't want, if it can be presented, a conflict situation with ASMFC going in a different direction. If indeed these numbers before us now will result in a quota for 2011 less than 15 million pounds, which would be rather bizarre in light of the fact that we have a totally rebuilt stock and overfishing is not occurring.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I can really appreciate David's concern because ASMFC doesn't operate under the federal rules that we operate under. And in the past, when we got a stock assessment, it would list the current biomass, the current fishing mortality, and the reference points. And then the council and the ASMFC would use that best available science. But now we have an SSC that comes into place that will look at the best available science and determine uncertainty, which ASMFC is not required to do. And it's that uncertainty level that has everyone concerned within ASMFC because it's not part of their process. And what we do is have our plan development teams work very closely with the SSC to determine the amount of uncertainty and the risk. And in scallops, I think it was a lot less risk than there was in groundfish, or another. Someone, Chris, remind me. In scallops, we had less scientific uncertainty, so the ACL was higher. In skates, we had more uncertainty because it's risk, it's data poor. So I can see his point that he doesn't have to live within the same federal guidelines on uncertainty. But guess what? We do. And there may be that dilemma with ASMFC that they'll have a different plan. But that's because they have different standards.
Anyone else? Dr. Pierce?
Just one final thing. Again, it's this document from the MID summarizing the decisions that were made by the SSC. I cannot recall. Dr. Weinberg may be able to answer this one. I'm sure you can. The document says that the SSC is going to go with a biological reference point. The F associated with OFL is changed from F.325 to 0.207. Was that the decision that came out of the assessment itself? Or is that an SSC determination independent of the assessment?
I don't know. I think that reflects the updated number that was in Dr. Rago's update, but I would have to dig into the document. I can't answer your question right now.
Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That reflects a determination that was made last week by the SSC. They did not accept the F threshold as an OFL. They pointed out in the projections that, in fact, biomass went below the threshold if you ran that out over long term on the projections. And so they substituted F target for a threshold. But I would point out that when all this is done, the monitoring committee's recommendation for TAL, after the SSC has used the new reference point and adjusted for scientific uncertainty, and the monitoring committee has made recommendations for accounting for discards, the net TAL available would be higher than it is now. And so, and the committee has yet to make a recommendation to the full council. That'll happen at our October meeting. So this is still preliminary, but just going through this application, again, the results are bound to be sensitive and always will be sensitive to estimates of discards, but the net recommendation coming through that process today represents a significant increase over status quo.
I think we can continue to have a discussion about jurisdiction and whatnot. The purpose of this discussion was to decide whether or not this body wants to approve, because it's jointly managed, wants to approve the ABC and ACL and AM methodologies that the Mid-Atlantic Council passed in its omnibus. Because we jointly manage this plan, you know, we're being asked for our concurrence or disagreement, whatever the case may be, on those issues. I'd be prepared to make a motion just to get the discussion going. So I guess I'll move that I need to approve the ABC or make a motion on the ABC, the risk, and the ACL process. So I'll move to select ABC. I'll select alternative ABC-B. Risk alternative G. Okay, this is a new one for you, Karen. DOG, all cap, dash B. DOG dash D as in dog. And DOG dash F as preferred alternatives for spiny dogfish. Is there a second? Seconded by Terry Stockwell. Discussion, David Pierce.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, why is it necessary for us to act on this particular dogfish issue before our dogfish committee meets with the Mid-Atlantic counterpart to discuss this further? Unless the dogfish committee has already provided recommendations on this. It has not, right. So I would feel more comfortable if the dogfish committee would have an opportunity to reflect on this particular decision by the MID, especially in the context of what it means for actual catch levels for dogfish. That's my own personal preference.
Either Rick or Jess, what's the timeline like? This is what's your timeline like on this document, your omnibus?
Well, we're looking for staff to submit our version to the service in October, mid-October. So it's another 2 weeks we were planning to submit.
Did I misspeak, or did the Dogfish Committee meet on these issues?
The Dogfish Committee met with the council when we had that day of serially convened committee meetings back in July of 2009 to decide the structure and the format for the ACLs, ACTs, AMs, et cetera.
Dr. Pierce?
It met, but did we get any recommendations from our Dogfish Committee regarding what this council should support? I don't believe we did.
No. Anything further from the council? Anyone in the audience? Ted?
Well, I'm a fisherman, and I fish for dogfish quite a bit. And I have a little bit of grievance with you people, and I'll tell you why. It's because the dogfish population is blooming in the Northeast, and I see more dogfish every single year. Being that I fish for dogfish a lot, I don't want to see them overfished because I make money catching them. I don't want to see their population cut in half. I don't want to even see their population diminished. I just like to take the cream off the top so I can make money. And my three sons or one of my sons can go dog fishing in the future and have it something that they can do. And I'd like to see that for a lot of people in Cape Cod because there's a lot of them. But the thing that I see that with what you two people were talking about is you're concerned about the dogfish getting overfished. And that's how you guys look at it down south. But up north here, there's another problem because the population, in my view and many fishermen's view, is increasing. And the problem is if you would say, well, I overestimated how many dogfish you could kill. So, well, that's good. You have more dogfish next year. because we did a good job preserving them. But the problem is that if you, let's say, we were allowed 15 million and say, well, we're going to take 25% of that and you're going to get 10 million and we get more dogfish. We get more dogfish up here. They compete with our codfish, our skates, which is not a problem, but flounders and everything else. So if you underestimate how many dogfish we can catch, then you're damaging our other fisheries. And I think that you should take that into account. It's a very serious matter up here of not fishing the dogfish enough. And I didn't hear any talk about that when you were talking about your alternatives. And that, for that reason, I agree with David Pierce that they really ought to look at this thing carefully before they agree to this, because I really think that the amount of dogfish we're catching right now is probably not even enough. I'm saying we should catch 10 times as much, but we probably could catch a few more. We certainly would not want to catch less. And that's just a biological thing. It's not a fisherman's outlook. It's a biological thing that you don't want more dogfish right now, because if our other stocks are in trouble, you don't want to make it harder on them.
Louis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Louis at Marder Trolling. I was at the committee 2 days ago about the dogfish. And I asked a scientific question to Paul Regal. Do you want to grow more that biomass? He said, no, certainly not. So we are at the point where we have enough recruit, and, you know, we arrived to a settlement where we were going to take about 20 million pounds of fish every year. I think it's a reasonable point, but you got to be very careful. If you don't remove enough dogfish from the water, you're going to have a serious problem. And you can ask Paul Rego. I'm telling you, he will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you. So be very careful what you decide. And I agree with Dr. Pierce that we have to look at it very, very carefully. Thank you.
John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Haviland, Green Harbor, Mass. There's just a few points which I'd like to make, and that being from the viewpoint of a commercial fisherman. And that being is that the New England Council has rebuilt the biomass of spiny dogfish, as Dr. Pierce has stated. So to that fact, I applaud both councils, Mid-Atlantic and New England. Secondly, would be that obviously now that you're being applauded for rebuilding a stock, it is good that the Sustainable Fisheries Act says that now people, the commercial fishermen or commercial catchers, should be able to take that away. And that seems to be the debate here. So obviously what I would hope happen would be that the council looks at the highest biological reference points, takes that into consideration, and then lower the scientific uncertainty of the variable of that, so that the gap is then closed tighter, and you can have have a more accurate or a tighter and higher ACL. And with that, you know, I as a commercial fisherman, you know, the debate's been going on back and forth, back and forth. I myself don't get paid by the word. What I get paid by is by the pound. So I think that it is imperative that you tighten up the biological reference points in review, lower the uncertainty, and increase the ACL. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Back to the council on the motion, Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I would move to postpone action on dogfish ACL AM provisions until our November 16 to 18 meeting, when we are scheduled to approve the specifications for 2011 through 15. it's not a motion to table, just a motion to postpone action to a time definite, which would be at our November meeting when we set the specifications. That's the motion. At that time, we'll know what the implications are of this particular strategy and others.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rodney. Pat Kirkle.
Gene's been teaching me. This is about the process. This isn't about setting specifications for next year or into the future. And I think that there's, you know, an intentional effort here to confuse the issue, frankly, that every FMP needs a process for setting ACLs and AMs. The Mid-Atlantic Council has adopted them for all of their FMPs now, including the one that they have administrative responsibility for and is joint with the New England Council, which is Dogfish. The Monkfish has already been through the process for both councils. This council has already adopted ACLs and AMs in almost all of their fisheries. This is about process. And I don't see why the commission would be trying to dictate, I think, the process for the council. This was a council plan long before it was a commission plan. And as a federal FMP, it's required to be consistent with the Magnuson Act. So I would strongly urge the council to vote against this mesh motion and vote for the original motion.
Any other comments on the motion to postpone? Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This does cause some concern for me. Again, the committee was involved in the structuring of the package way back when as the process unfolded. Additionally, I think if you look at the contemporary application of it, you know, the monitoring committee's maximum quota recommendation is on the order of 20 million pounds. It represents a significant increase over status quo if you think about how this is applied. And obviously, there are variables. I mean, there are variables in every SSC decision. But that's the law of the land now with the changes in the Act. And so that discretion is going to be afforded to the SSC. And that's going to have a bearing on our decision making as a council. But I think the approach here, ground truthing it with the contemporary numbers, is relatively attractive. It's robust, I think, to scientific and management uncertainty. And if you delay action, just following that through, that would delay the final submittal and approval of the omnibus, which relates to all of our other FMPs as well. We've been in the development process now for years on this, so I would appeal to the council to approve the original motion.
Anything further from the council on the motion to postpone? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. 3 opposed. Opposed. 14 opposed. Motion to postpone fails. 3-14. Back on the main motion. Anything further? Doug Grout.
Just a minor point, Mr. Chairman. I believe your dog F should be dog J. That's the preferred, at least in the presentation I have.
Okay, I was pulling my motion off of the motions from the council, from the Mid-Atlantic Council, and it's reported as dog B, D, and F.
It was just a typo in the table. It is actually dog F, and in the new version that's going into the service, I've corrected it. I was hoping no one would notice that in there. I saw it after the fact, but apparently it's come out. But it's correct in the text of the document, and it is the correct numbering for your motion.
Good catch, Doug. Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a couple of other items, and I don't know if you're going to handle those in a separate action on the review procedure. That is the preferred alternatives for reviewing and modifying the package. And so I don't know if you want to handle that separately or in one motion.
No, I'd prefer to just put it all in this one motion. So why don't you feed it to me and I'll amend my motion. Where am I looking?
The council preferred alternatives where it was review B and review C. So there were two action alternatives for review and alternative modify B, which would establish a process to modify actions.
So it's review B and review C?
Yes.
And modify B?
And modify B, yes. Those were the council preferred.
Okay, we only need one modify B. Does the seconder agree? All right, without objection. Okay, so this is the complete package. I'm going to go to Dr. Pierce.
Just a clarification regarding the package, and that is relative to Dogfish. It's unclear to me under alternative ABC-B, are we actually picking a specific level? It's not clear to me what level the Mid-Atlantic Council picked, if it did at all, and it did pick it any at all.
Well, that alternative ABCB sets up the framework for those four levels, and the SSC, each time we get a stock assessment from a SALSARC or a benchmark, would look at their four levels and identify to which level that assessment's going to belong. So I believe in this last go-round, it looked like it would fall into level three, but that evaluation would be made by the SSC each time they go through the specifications process. So that four levels are a guide for them as to what methods they would apply.
Okay, so right now it's likely that if this passes, it would be level three. It's not in the motion. The Mid-Atlantic Council did not take action, but you're saying that's the SSC's preference at this time. See, that would not be my preference. My preference would be a level number two, but I'm not going to press the issue. I'm just going to vote against the motion.
Anything further on the main motion as amended? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Six, 16. Opposed? 1. Main motion as amended passes 16-1. I think that's all we needed to do under Dogfish. All right. Dr. Pierce?
If I would, just a clarification from the chair of the MID, from Rick. Rick, at the Sea Scallop Committee meeting, we had a discussion on Dogfish, and you mentioned something at that time, Rich, that I think needs to be aired right now, just so we, including myself, understand what's now going to happen with the SSC. Indeed, what's been presented to us in this SSC meeting package relative to the thresholds, the targets, will they eventually be the thresholds and targets that are used, or has something happened at the monitoring committee that will result in some other action?
David, just if I can respond, Mr. Chair, the SSC has a follow-up webinar to address any outstanding issues that they'll have this Friday. They will be reflecting on the additional information that Dr. Rago provided. But to your point, the reference points for OFL and F target, I think are going to need to be reviewed in the future because of the discrepancy between the updated reference points that were provided for this year's decision-making cycle and the SSC's decision to reject F threshold. That indicates to me that there's going to need to be some more work on that specific point. But having said that, even plugging F target in as the OFL, the net quota amount available after the monitoring committee calculates and estimates for discards is an improvement over the status quo. So I think the overall outcome is generally favorable as far as the outlook, and yet I think we would all acknowledge that there's going to need to be some more discussion over the course of the next year about the F-based reference points.
Okay. Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may, I would like to jump back, and I know people want to get to lunch, but I would like to jump back to the skate issue. I think we had some lengthy public input on that. From what I heard around the table, I think people were searching for some avenue for us to take to try and resolve this issue. I just don't think that we can shrug our shoulders and walk away from it. So with that, I would like to make a motion that the council request that the service take emergency action to ensure that OY is reached in the skate fishery, and that the council request the skate PDT request of the skate PDT an analysis of the first quarter landings and discard data to be reported at the November council meeting to make sure that the current discard estimate is as accurate as possible.
That seems right. Is there a second? Dave Prebble. Discussion? Frank Blount.
Don't you need the second part of this motion before you ask for the emergency action? You're asking for the emergency action before the PDT does the analysis to see that you do need the emergency action. I mean, we're not saying there's not a problem here, but you've already asked, you've presupposed what the PDT is going to say.
Well, my response to that is that I think the two have to go hand in hand at this point. The analysis in terms of whether the OY gets reached is really looking, projecting out at the current landings rate, whether, in fact, it's physically possible for them to catch the outstanding tack. But I concur that some of that analysis would have to take place on either one of them. But I kind of did see them as a separate issue.
Anyone else in the council? Pat Kirkle.
Well, following up on Frank's question, but so. You receive the discard analysis of the November meeting and determine that some action is appropriate based on that discard analysis. Are you contemplating requesting a second emergency action at that point?
I mean, if you're asking me that question, my answer would be no, but I would ask you the question. If you determine through the analysis that the current OY could not be reached because it's physically impossible at the 500-pound level, I mean, it's going to take a little while to do that analysis. It's going to take you a little while to put that into place. Would the emergency action be in place by the November meeting?
To Rip's question, theoretically, if it were determined that an emergency existed, and of course the council will need to describe how the emergency criteria have been met, including the unforeseen circumstances. And so if there were a determination that there was an emergency, then theoretically that could happen prior to the November meeting. So I guess what I'm asking is, doesn't it make sense to have all the information in front of us before we make a decision? George has looked through the language in the regulations, and there is a reference to, how is it worded? Reducing the triple limit unless there's a determination that the TAL won't be attained. So there's not clear in-season action authority, but there is something that we could look at a little more closely to see if we have any flexibility on.
Jenny?
Well, that brings up the question. When you load it to 500 pounds, did you make that determination? But that's what the regulation says.
Yes, when we lowered it to the 500 pounds, we made the determination that it would be attained. Right.
Well, we can look at it, yeah,
but we could potentially revisit that.
Anything further from the council? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Three opposed. Okay. It's 1:15. Gene has to correct something he said, and then we're going to break.
Yeah, an audience member pointed out that one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit challenging failure to have any river herring shad FMP, Michael Flaherty, is actually a past president of the Massachusetts Striped Bass Association, not a current president, vice president.
Okay. So 1:15, 1 hour for lunch. Be back at 2:15. We've got a pretty aggressive herring agenda item We need to get to.